let's give it up for them. Every single weekend, man, they're rocking it. Right out of the 80s today. You know, that's what we're going to be talking about today. I love that line in there, you know, we need a little help from above. Actually, we need a lot of help from above, and we actually need a power that comes. And so it's great to have you here with us today. My name's Kurt. I'm the lead pastor here at Crosspoint. If we haven't had the chance to meet, it's great to meet you today and to have you here with us. And let me just pray for us before we dive in today. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're a God who can bring things to us that we can't do for ourselves. That you come in from the outside and you can actually enable us to do things that we otherwise are unable to do. And so, God, I just pray today that you would be pleased with the words that I've prepped today. And, God, that most importantly, more and more people are brought into relationship with you, that there's more of us who are filled and empowered with the Holy Spirit. God, help me to be clear and help me, and all of us, help us as we walk out of here today, God, to be different people as a result of being here today. And God, I just pray these things according to the identity and the person of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, things have been trickling in over these last few weeks in terms of the impact that the Brave Journey has been having as we've been going through this now in week five. Here's one of my more favorite emails that came in this past week. This person writes, "After service on Sunday, I told my husband Brian, I never thought of myself as being brave until it was my only option. But because of Crosspoint, I know that I am ready to weather the storm." So this comes from Leela. And Leela, last year, in last year's Brave Journey, she got a heading that ultimately caused her to travel to Haiti last summer to serve underprivileged children. She just felt like God was asking her to get out of her comfort zone and serving people. And so she went to Haiti, had a phenomenal experience, served underprivileged kids. I mean, brought things back. The school uniform drive at the beginning of the year that we did added a Haiti initiative this year because of her time in Haiti. And so really cool things that happened. 3 or 4 months later, after she returned from the trip, her and her husband Brian found out they were expecting a little a baby. It ended up being a daughter. And then shortly after that, she found out that she had contracted Zika, the Zika virus, while in Haiti. And so she goes on and says, "There is one little phrase that you told Brian that I keep replaying in my head, and that is that God is bigger than the research. Those simple words have pulled me out of the pits when I dwell on the chances of our baby girl being born with some sort of birth defect. Even though the odds may be against her health, that was the perfect reminder that she is in God's hands, and so are we as parents. So as I sit here 10 times more terrified than when I got off the plane in Haiti, I know that God is now with me just as he was then. Participating in the Brave Journey again couldn't be more timely and fitting to equip us with the courage we need in this time of fear. So thanks for making the choice to choose the same journey, for helping us become brave. I can only pray and hope that others have felt encouraged as I have." How cool is that? She said her baby daughter, her and Brian's baby girl, is looking great so far. Let's thank God for that. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's really good. Now, big idea for today is you can be different. All right, you can be different. You can possess a person inside of you that allows you to respond to things, to deal with things that come your way different, to overcome things and have more bravery and more power than you can just leaning on your own ideas and understandings. In fact, take a look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Here's what it says. It says, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." Now, notice the word spirit here. You can't see it on these screens, but the word spirit in the text of the Bible, where it's not all capitalized, is actually a capital word. Well, why would it be capitalized? Why would the word spirit be capitalized right there? It's because the spirit is an individual. All right, this is the Holy Spirit, the triune God. This is a name of an individual. The Father, you know, the God the Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, all of these are actually individuals. The Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is not an aura, or a presence, or a power that sweeps through. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's a person, and then this person was a force that actually brought the lifeless corpse of Jesus after he died on the cross. 3 days later, brought the lifeless corpse of Jesus back to life. And I wish I had the time to go into kind of the historical realities on why, you know, this is the most rational conclusion that Jesus did literally and figuratively and historically and physically, you know, raise from the dead. I don't have time to really go into that today. Let me just say, there's a reason people still celebrate him today. There's a reason we still date time back to that event today. There's a reason that those who saw this easily could have, you know, kind of bypassed their early deaths by just recanting their statement when they said, "We believe he raised from the dead," but they didn't. You know why? Because they actually saw it with their eyes. And the power of it was the Holy Spirit. And so that verse right there says that same entity that brought Jesus back to life is the same entity that can fill you and me, that can allow us to actually do things beyond what we feel like we are capable of right now. It's the Spirit that actually brings a bravery. I mean, think to yourself, if you had something that you knew you could do right now that otherwise you thought, there's no way out of my abilities I could do it, but something from the outside came in and I could actually do it. I mean, think of what you do right now, things you're afraid of. If you knew there was a courage that would come to you that you currently don't possess. I mean, think about things that maybe you can't stop in your life. Maybe addictions that you've just not been able to beat, and you're like, why in the world do I keep doing the things that I'm doing even though I don't want to do them? Well, that could stop if there was a power residing in you and you were tapping into that power to actually live differently. Things maybe you can't sustain. Why can't I not sustain this? Why can't I sustain financial health in my life? Well, there's a Spirit who can come and empower you in this. This past week in our Brave groups, one of the questions we wrestled with is the question, what's the biggest leap of faith you've ever taken? How many of us answered that question, just out of curiosity? I know not everybody did in the group. Yeah, you know, when I answered that question, one of the answers, I had two answers, one of the answers I gave was, you know, when I shared about how when we were looking to get into this building, how we started the process to build this place, and man, most people were all excited, man. They were like, man, can't wait. Load in, load out team, if you were a part of Cross Point in the 7 years at Fall Creek Intermediate School, you couldn't wait. I tell you what, it was butt pucker city for me the entire time. I mean, signing those documents, I've never signed my name being responsible for that much stuff. I mean, I wasn't looking for more responsibility. Everybody's excited. I was excited, but it was a weird, like, butt puckered up, you know, tense. And part of me was like, man, I'd be totally fine without all the extra responsibility. But I tell you what, the Holy Spirit, I mean, one of the things I was excited about, and the reason I'm still excited, is the possibility of God touching more and more people through this place. All right? But all of that came together for me because of the Holy Spirit. It was a Holy Spirit thing empowering me to do something I otherwise wouldn't necessarily have chosen to do. And this is the way God wants to work in you. He wants to bring something from the outside in to allow you to do things beyond what you can do right now, relationally, in your marriage, in your relationships, financially, you know, mentally, intellectually, to grow you intellectually, maybe in ways you never thought were possible, you know, physically, occupationally. When he comes and he infuses us with his power and enables us to be different. One of the more crazy things that we see happen in the New Testament is really the first thing where we see the Holy Spirit alive and at work and present in the New Testament. And this is right after Jesus left the earth. And so what's left on the earth are the disciples and a whole bunch of people. And the disciples are gathering together in Jerusalem. They're there for the Feast of the Passover. So they're gathering together. They're sitting together. And all of a sudden, boom, the Holy Spirit comes and fills them. And amazingly, no longer do they have to go into a synagogue or a building to experience God. God is actually dwelling in them because he fills them with his Spirit. And he comes inside all of the believers, anybody who is a believer, he comes inside of them, and they begin speaking languages they've never learned before. All right, I mean, languages like French, they're like, oh, the French say les incompetents, or Spanish, you know, donde está usted, or Chinese, oh, some chicken fried rice, or Kentuckian, you know, yep, Goma, we going to get some possum tonight. I mean, you know, they're speaking these languages, and I know you Kentucky people, you're like, oh, he's always poking fun at us. Listen, if you can't, like, see the humor in Kentucky jokes, I mean, then you don't know Kentucky, you really don't. All right, I know some of you are from, like, Louisville. All right, listen, Louisville's not Kentucky. All right, you're like from the other side of the river, right? I mean, you want to really know Kentucky, you go through Louisville about an hour and then get off the road and, like, you know, then you'll understand Kentucky, all right? God loves those people. He really does. All right, he loves all of them. He wants them to wear shoes, but he loves them, all right? So they're speaking languages they've never learned. And why do they have different languages? See, God gives them a different dialect when the Holy Spirit comes into their life. Why does he give them a different dialect? Because he wants them to go outside of their region where they speak the dialect of their region, and he wants them to be able to speak to people in a different language that have never heard about who Jesus is. See, the interesting thing about the Holy Spirit is, you know, the Holy Spirit doesn't come to just give us this, you know, spine-tingling, warm sensation moment. No, the Spirit enables us. He always brings his Spirit to equip us to be used and to go someplace in some new way. So you can just imagine when, you know, they're able to speak this language that they haven't even trained for. I mean, they didn't go to, like, grad school or, like, do some cultural immersion project or anything. All of a sudden, it's like, bam, they can speak another language. And so they're having fun with it. They're talking. I can just imagine they're all talking out loud, and everybody's, you know, laughing. And, oh, my word, you got this one, and I got that one. And people hear them that weren't filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're like, what's going on? Jeez, these people are like drunk or something. That's what they said. Like, these people are like utterly wasted. That's all we can say about what's going on right here. And again, Peter grabs the mic. Peter, as he always does, we've been talking about Peter all series. He steps up and says what everybody else is thinking. Here's what he says. Verse 15, he says, for these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. That's like the best excuse he can give. Think about that. He's like, that's why he says people aren't drunk. He doesn't say, well, you know, we're all teetotalers, and I mean, we wouldn't drink at all. He didn't say that. He says, hey, we're not drunk. You know, we don't do our serious drinking at 9 a.m. Come on, who do you think we are? I love that. It's awesome. That's like the best that he has to give him right there. But he's such a simple guy. And he brings something powerful because he's received power. Acts 4, verse 8 says this. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now, whenever we see that phrase, filled with the Holy Spirit, as a predecessor, I mean, something big is just about to happen. All right? Now, it doesn't say Peter, you know, gave it his best, and then he said to him. It doesn't say, well, Peter gave it the old college try, and then he said. It doesn't say, you know, Peter, freshly motivated from a Tony Robbins conference, you know, then he spoke to them, and he was all jazzed and ready to go. No, it says Peter, freshly filled with the Holy Spirit. So three big ideas today, three big ideas on the Holy Spirit. Number one, being filled is different than being motivated. Being filled is different than being motivated. You know, the self-help industry is alive and well. I love the self-help industry. I don't know if you like it. I'm very thankful for the writings, the teachings of people like Stephen Covey and Malcolm Gladwell and, you know, Brené Brown and, you know, John Townsend, Henry Cloud. I mean, all these guys. Tony Robbins, dude, is impressive. I mean, he has a lot of good stuff to say. Let's just say that the self-help industry can help you so long as you have the resources within yourself to grow, right? I mean, you know, the limits of which the self-help industry hits is when you get to the end of yourself, right? So if you're not, like, reaching your full potential, you've got a lot more capacity within yourself, then you have room to grow through the self-help industry. But once you get to the end of yourself, you're done, right? Think about it. If you need financial help, self-financial help isn't what you're looking for, right? You got yourself in the mess. So you need, like, something outside of yourself. Or emotional self-help. You don't want your own emotions to be all that you're relying on. You know, you need something from outside. And so we have to understand that, you know, we have to look outside of ourselves for certain things. Every now and then somebody will say to me, well, you know, I know all the solutions are right here inside of me. I've got everything I need. I'm like, really? I'm like, man, I must be missing it then. Have you seen my life? I'm at the end of myself right here. I'm sorry, that's kind of a ridiculous thing that we have everything we need right here. No. See, we need help from the outside. We need something from the outside that actually brings a power and the ability to change us in ways that we can't do for ourselves. The story continues, verse 11. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, Peter said, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So he says, look, we need intervention. We need intervention. And the only name that all of us can be saved by is the name of Jesus. What does that mean? Well, what he's saying right here is that God is a just God. He's saying that you and I, all of us, have offended God. All of us have come against who God is, the very character of who he is. And there needs to be consequences for that. Otherwise, God is not a just God. And so you and I can either pay the consequences of our own rebelliousness, of our own iniquities, of our own indiscretions, of our own immorality, of our own, you know, inappropriateness, you name it. I mean, the Bible calls it sin. You know, he's basically saying, you know, we can pay for it ourselves in eternity when we die, or Jesus can pay for it and save me from the consequences of me paying for it myself. And that's what it means to be saved. And he's the only one that does that. He's the only one. Let's go on. Verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So they're unschooled, just ordinary men. Number two, second thing I want us to see is we can be discipled or we can be schooled. We can be discipled or we can be schooled. But see, being discipled is different than being schooled. See, Peter and John here, they were living with Jesus for years. They were living under his tutelage. They were being mentored by him. They were living under his authority. He was coaching them. He was growing them. He was building into them. Even after Jesus departed the earth, this group, the original brave group, you know, they were still meeting together, right? They were still building into one another, and they were placing themselves under the character and the things that Jesus was about. And as a result of those connections, as a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit, they had a power. I mean, so much so that people who actually had the schooling, you know, people who, you know, had the pedigree and all the degrees, the people who, you know, who were smart, you know, who done all the religious institution stuff, they were like, who are these guys? Every time these guys, Peter and John, talk, it's like things come out of their mouth. And they look like ordinary, unschooled men, and yet they say things that are incredible. How is it they get so much done? I mean, they look like just ordinary, unschooled fishermen. Yeah, they were. But they were discipled. See, they were discipled. They had a power, and they were different. PJ and I, we led chapel, the chapel service this past week up at the University of Anderson University School of Theology. And I have to be honest, you know, the seminary realm is not really my gig. I mean, it's there for some, but, you know, we both agreed on the way home. It went better than we thought. Let me put it that way. And so, you know, we you know, they asked me to come teach and him to lead worship, and we kind of did it cross point style. But it was interesting. It was good for them. I think it was good for us. But you know, as I was talking with a couple students up there, I was talking to one young lady, and I said, hey, what are you here for? What are you studying? What do you think God wants to do in your life? And she said, oh, I'm here to get my PhD in divinity. And I'm like, awesome, okay. And like, what are you going to do? Like, it's awesome to get that, but what's your passion, man? What's the thing that's driving you to spend like the next 6 years pursuing this? Oh, I just want to get my PhD. Okay. Thinking, so you're going to spend like $100,000? She's like, yeah. I'm like, but what's the thing? Like, what do you get passionate about? She said, I don't know. I just want to get my degree and then figure it out. And I thought, geez, my word. Now seminary's for some people, all right? But you got to know why you're going to seminary. See, simply getting school doesn't equip you to do ministry. So many people think, you know, I'll talk to people every now and then that'll say, hey, I'm thinking about going into mission work or, you know, going to work for a church. Should I go to seminary? I'm like, why would you go? I mean, if you've got like some outages, you know, knowledge-wise in your knowledge base, then seminary is probably a good idea. You know, if you're going to go work for a denomination where you have to be, you know, have a seminary degree to get ordained, then probably a good idea. I mean, if you just personally or spiritually need to mature some, you know, seminary may be that place for you to do that. But see, here's the thing. If you think a mark behind your name is going to equip you to have God work through you and for you to feel God's presence more and more, it's not going to happen. See, there's a difference between being discipled and being schooled. You know, I'm for the most part unschooled. As if you needed to know that, right? You sit here for 5 minutes, you're like, no kidding. All right, now listen, like you got to have schooling to a degree, right? I've had quite a bit of schooling, and I'm a constant learner. I'm all about learning, all right? Never stop learning. But some of you are like, I can't even believe you can string two sentences together, all right? So, you know, listen, I had a stellar 2.5 in high school. I mean, that was my goal, stay playing basketball, you know, playing baseball. I raised it a tenth in my freshman year in college, believe it or not, 2.6. Yeah, I was rocking. I was proud. You know, and then I met my wife. We started dating. She was like a book nerd. She was always in the library, all right? So, like, if I wanted to see her, I had to study. So I started dating her, and I rose to like a 3.5. You know, my mom was a teacher, and she was always like, why do you test in the 100th percentile, and then you bring home C's on your report card? I'm like, well, there's just a lot of fun between an A and a C. I mean, that's just the reality. And so, you know, my preaching class, I mean, I'm going to be honest, man, I was at the bottom. I mean, I would practice my sermons then. They're like 12 minutes long, and I'd give it to Julie. I was dating her at the time, and she was willing to sit through it, and I'd give it to my grandma. They were the two that were available. And they'd just look at me the whole time. I'd see them squirm, and at the end, I'm like, so what'd you think? What do you think? You know, am I ready to go? And they're like, well, are you going to do it exactly that way? Well, I was planning on it. I mean, Julie would be a nervous wreck while I was in class giving my sermon because she knew how bad it was. I'm telling you, people who knew me then, people who knew me in high school, if you were to talk to them, they'd be like, that guy up there, who's that? Isn't that the guy that never spoke, you know, when we said hi on campus? I mean, who's that? Folks, listen, it's not my schooling. I've got quite a bit of schooling, and I'm a constant learner, but it's not that. It's the Holy Spirit in my life that allows me to do what I do. It's the Holy Spirit. Anybody who knows me from back then would tell you they never would have thought that this is what I'd be doing. I was having a conversation recently with a guy who was he was just struggling with some issues, and he said, man, it must be nice to be a pastor, you know, and like have it kind of all together and not have normal temptations like normal people. I'm like, have you met me? Have you ever come to Crosspoint, heard me talk about all the ways I fail? And he looked at me and said, are you broken? I'm like, yes, I'm broken. I mean, he couldn't even like finish the question. I mean, I'm like, I get in a meeting, whether it's with pastors or community leaders, and I'm just constantly sitting there thinking, I wonder if I'm more intelligent than these people. I wonder if I have more accomplishments. I'm totally trying to figure out where I fit in, and I wonder if my kids are better behaved than theirs. I bet I got that on them. Probably not, but I mean, I'm just constantly evaluating. I mean, as I parent my kids, I can't tell you how many times I go to bed at night and I just think, man, I was too much of a disciplinarian today. I mean, I was just ruthless with my kids on something. I give them grace, but I could give them a lot more at times. I mean, when I travel and I go to a hotel and I'm out of town, listen, it's temptation city. It really is. I mean, I so easily could go back to my pornoholic days from earlier in my life. So easily. I mean, it's like I go into that hotel and I'm like, I just want to look at the descriptions on the shows, you know, on the channels I don't get that I could watch. Just the descriptions. All right, I mean, I'm drawn to that. I don't know why. It's because I'm broken. And listen, by the way, this has nothing to do with Julie, in case you wonder. Sometimes you're like, oh, man. No, Julie, it has nothing to do with Julie fulfilling me. This is a me issue. This goes way back before Julie. See, I'm broken. I'm broken, and I need a Savior. I need a filling that comes and allows me to come under and to grow and be coached and learn and to allow God to work in me to do things that I can't do on my ordinary power. And when that happens, the Holy Spirit gets all the credit. Because see, he's the filler. He's the filler. But I have a responsibility in the process too, which is number three. Training is better than trying. Training is better than trying. See, the Holy Spirit comes and equips us. But there's still a training that has to happen. See, for some of us, we think, well, you know, once I receive Jesus, once I begin that relationship, which is a really important first step, right, that kind of connects us with Jesus and it saves us. I mean, we no longer are on the hook for all of our sin. But see, we still have to fall under his leadership. We still have to be coached and mentored and discipled. And we have to do things that we normally wouldn't do and put ourselves in situations that actually invite the power of the Spirit to come in and work through us on a day-by-day basis. Take a look at verse 18. It says, so they called them and they charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go. They let them go. It's interesting. Have you ever noticed that Peter and John are always together right here? I mean, through this whole sequence, why are they together? Because they trained together. See, they trained together. They were in the original Brave group of Jesus's for the very first group ever, right? They were in that group. They trained and grew on these Brave initiatives Jesus was developing into them. And we all know this from our Brave group experience, right? I mean, listen, you may not have had the like stellar A+ Brave group, you know? Maybe you're like, oh, my group was lacking a little. I don't know. You know, but you know that you were better off because you were a part of it. Right? It's just like working out. You may not have like a stellar A+ workout every time, but when you walk out of that workout the rest of the day, you're like, man, I'm glad I did that. See, this is true in every area of our lives, physically, emotionally, relationally, mentally, and spiritually. One of my new favorite blogs that I check in pretty regularly through the week is a blog called The Art of Manliness. Anybody ever read it? Been on it? Seen it? Oh, man, awesome, yeah. Some fellow manly men around here. So here was a great post from not too long ago. It said, we want to be ready, this is referring to men, we want to be ready to act in a crisis. But it's hard to stay vigilant and keep an edge when nothing ever seems to happen that calls forth our abilities. The motivation to stay sharp atrophies, and we're lulled into apathy and complacency. As a result, men's standards, self-respect, discipline, and all-around hardihood. I love that word. Hardihood gets soft. Hardihood. Yes, the art of manliness. This says, hey, when men and women too, when we're prepared, when we take initiative to be prepared for whatever might come our way, this says we actually feel more of a confidence and we feel more of a competence. And this is how it is in the spiritual realm as well. See, when we get filled, we get used. See, when we submit ourselves and we say, God, I'm going to honor you. I'm going to come underneath you. I'm going to let you disciple me. I'm going to get environments where I'm going to be challenged. I'm going to take some of the brave challenges. I'm going to do something I normally never would do. I'm going to pray for a stranger, even though I've never done that out loud. But I'm going to put myself in that scenario because when I do that, what I find is God's Spirit comes and actually empowers me to do something I thought I never could do. Had somebody say to me recently, they're like, man, Kurt, you've been like really energetic lately. You've been like fired up more than normal lately. I'm like, that must mean I'm pretty boring most of the time. I don't know how to take that. But I'll tell you why. If you're wondering, maybe that's the case. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because for the last 9 weeks, I've submitted myself to some training. I've been in some training called this thing called the Fight Club for men. And I referenced it a few weeks ago, and some of you were interested. You'll probably hear more about it here in a few months as a few of us have been going through it. But I've been doing 4 workouts a week or more, very intentional workouts. I've been watching my nutrition, watching what I eat and drink and how much processed food I take in, how much water I drink daily. I've been reading a proverb a day, every day, just letting it build into my life. I've been challenging myself intellectually, reading a chapter of a book each week and then processing and journaling on it. I've been looking for opportunities to serve people that I normally wouldn't serve. I've been looking for opportunities to pray for people. And all of this is kind of woven together by a new accountability relationship I've added to my life with a guy by the name of Corey, and all of this has been really powerful. I'll tell you what, you do something like that for 63 days, you're going to be different. You're going to be more fresh. It's been really cool. Now, the reason I tell all you that is simply because you've got to figure out the posture. You've got to figure out the disciplines that will disciple you and that will enable you to be filled. All right, you got to figure it out. All right, coming into a dark auditorium at Crosspoint each weekend is good, but it's not going to be enough. You've got to be filled. And I tell you what, people have been going in this posture for a long time. All right, they've been changing themselves and changing people in our culture and in our world for a long time. People filled with the Holy Spirit have been empowered to bring about change and do things they never thought they'd be capable of doing. Right? And this isn't just like some philosophy we see in the Bible. This is something that's been born over and over again throughout our human history, in our American history. I mean, it doesn't get talked about very much, but we see it all the time. Take, for instance, Abraham Lincoln. I mean, why is it that we today would say arguably Abraham Lincoln is probably the best leader we've ever known? He's possibly the best, most loving president we've ever known. He's one of the wisest leaders we've ever known in the office of president. Why is that? Well, I would say it's probably because he was led by the Spirit. Because he had a faith and he trusted in the Holy Spirit to come in and build a capacity in him to have a patience to endure things and to lead through things beyond what he thought he physically was capable of doing. Take a look at what he said. He said, having thus chosen our course without guile and with pure purpose, let us renew our trust in God and go forward without fear and with manly hearts. With manly hearts. Florence Nightingale, founder of the modern day nursing program. When she was born in Britain, I mean, she created nursing during the Crimea War. All right, Florence Nightingale, I mean, if you've ever been in a hospital and you've been blessed by a nurse that comes in that says RN and she sticks a needle in your arm, you know, pulls blood out, you know, checks on you, changes your bedpan every few hours, whatever it might be, that is a part of the innovation of Florence Nightingale starting the discipline of nursing. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit. In fact, look at what she says. She says, if I could give you information on my life, it would be to show how a woman of very ordinary ability has been led by God in strange and unaccustomed paths to do in his service what he has done in her. And if I could tell you all, you would see how God has done all and I nothing. I have worked hard, very hard, that is all, and I have never refused God anything. Our country's different because of Martin Luther King Jr., right? Different because of the way he innovated, the way he protested, the way he challenged others to stand for their cause and to do it peacefully and to take bullets and to take lashes. I mean, where would he get this fresh innovation from? Where would he get the fortitude to do this? Which, by the way, all these people are broken people, in case you're wondering. None of these are like above normal humankind. I mean, they had brokenness in their life. They operated out of their brokenness. But I tell you what, even when you're broken, when you allow the Spirit to be in you, you can do things outside of your normal abilities. Here's what he said. He said, by opening our lives to God in Christ, we become new creatures. This experience with Jesus spoke of as the new birth is essential if we are to be transformed nonconformists. Only through an inner spiritual transformation do we gain the strength to fight vigorously the evils of the world in a humble and loving spirit. See, that's the power of the Holy Spirit right there. And it's not just some big folks that are on the world stage. It's in ordinary, normal people right here at Cross Point. People like Nick Hayes. If you were here a number of months ago, you saw the story of Nick Hayes on the screens where, you know, he was a heroin addict, right? And you think, man, there's no way anybody that's been a heroin addict has any life after heroin. Well, don't tell the Holy Spirit that. I mean, the Holy Spirit got a hold of Nick's life when he was in a treatment program and he received Christ and the Holy Spirit took over. And it began to move in a powerful way in his life. He's doing things people said he'd never do. I mean, he's back reunited with his family. They're getting ready to add the third child to their family. He's been clean for 3 years. He's now repurposing his life in a new direction to help those who are caught in heroin to tackle the addiction through the power of the Holy Spirit and to go to new places. How cool is that? Yeah, it's awesome. It's Nick right here in the front row. How about Brett and Nora Foster? Brett and Nora came to Cross Point a little over a year ago in the spring of 2015. And they're expecting their first child. And it was right after I had taken off my month-long rest and study break, our team got an email that they had given birth. And 3 days after they gave birth, here's the email that came into us. It said, we had a precious baby boy, Cade, who is 3 days old, and he's been diagnosed with a very devastating syndrome called trisomy 13. 90% of infants with this defect in the chromosomes pass on in the first year and typically don't survive pregnancy or birth. We have a strong little beautiful boy that will be going home to the Lord soon, and we have some difficult decisions to make about his future and care. And get this, we don't want to look online at others' testimonies, but instead be led by the Holy Spirit in what we should be doing next. They are looking to be led by the Holy Spirit. Our team went out, met with them. They're devastated, as you can imagine. And yet, they were allowing the Holy Spirit. How do you get through moments like that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. They were inviting, they're saying, God, we know your Spirit is beyond this. In fact, Nora even said, out of last year's Brave Journey, her heading was to share Christ's love more and more frequently with people because of the way Christ's love impacted her during that difficult time. And one of the cool things is 6 weeks ago, I don't know if they're here today, 6 weeks ago, they gave birth to a beautiful little girl, Indy Marie Foster. She's pooping, she's peeing, she's healthy. I mean, all the great things you hope for in a baby. How cool is that? Man, congratulations, Brett and Nora. That right there is the power of the Holy Spirit. How cool is that? And Stephen Wendy Holtz hosted a Brave group last year that Brent and Nora attended, and Stephen Wendy actually cared and coached and nurtured and pastored them through this incredibly difficult time. Steve is an amazing hero on his own Brave journey. Steve had a heading last year that he felt like he was being called to create an organization to help men, young men who are just out of high school, who have disabilities, to get some of the training, the vocational training they need so that they can land a job when they get out in the workforce and eventually able to integrate into normal society. So take a look at Steve's heading right here.
I felt like the Lord was nudging me, asking me if I was willing to leave my current career for something that would be more fulfilling. I really danced around with that question and really found it difficult to offer up in prayer that career because there were so many things about it that provided comfort for me and my family. So I finally got to the point where I was able to get out of the comfort zone. Don't just look at, you know, maybe the final 15 years of one's career to just, you know, kind of finish and coast in, but that there was something more exciting for me to be doing. I did know that what I perceived my God-given skill set was not being used anywhere near its maximum potential. And I'd really been wrestling with it for 5 or 6 years prior to the Brave journey, and I just knew that I needed to make a move. My heading turned into launching a ministry to help young men with disabilities. So out of that came Seeds of Hope. Seeds of Hope wants to help these young men find their identity in Jesus, help them to understand that they have a purpose here in this world, help them identify what that purpose is, help them grow into knowing who Jesus is and that God did not make a mistake, just help them begin to believe that and see that. Income people would donate prior to me getting the 501c3 established. There seemed to be a lot of people interested in what I was doing, and there also seemed to be a lot of people that were interested in me showing them that I had this thing off the ground and I had it moving. It's hard not to take things personally sometimes, so those things actually can turn out to be really demotivators. Me stepping out of my safety zone for Seeds of Hope really had to do with when I quit my job. You know, I went 6 weeks without any income. You know, those are things that when, you know, you have a family of 7 people and your wife has been fortunate to be a stay-at-home mom for the majority of our married life together, I want to provide the kind of care that I've traditionally been able to. I'm excited because I feel at times like I know I got out of the boat. I got out of the boat, I got into the water. And at some point in time, I turned back toward the boat. At times I feel like I'm now just holding onto the boat. And when I'm holding onto the boat, my wife reminds me that I'm shark bait sitting there in the water and that I gotta push back away and keeping on. So as we enter into 2017, I'm excited about a fella. He ultimately wants to become a pastor. He has a background in farming, and he has about a 4-month window in which he can provide both spiritual guidance for these young men as well as training on how to farm, how to do this, how to do that. You know, there's going to be opportunity to be an encouragement and help young men. Going to be some financial obligations that we're going to have. I'm not exactly sure how this is all going to come together. I feel confident that the Lord is in it. Not exactly sure how we go from there, but I am taking that sort of step of faith here that the Lord wants it to come about, and I am willing to journey along with him and see where he takes me.
Here to see. Where does someone get that kind of power to do those kinds of things? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. As we wrap up this morning, I want to give us the opportunity, if you've never received the Holy Spirit, if you've never began a relationship with Jesus, I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. And why wouldn't you do this? I mean, you know, I don't know what your perceptions are of who Jesus is or what he wants or what you may have to give up. Just get to know him. Just start with him. Jesus will give you the power to overcome things that you have questions about in the right time. All right, he made it really simple. And so I just want us to go ahead and bow our heads and shut our eyes. And if you've never received Jesus into your life, if you've never received the Holy Spirit into your life, I want you to just place your palms open on your lap facing up. I mean, this is kind of the universal sign of receiving. There's nothing magical about our hands being in this posture. It just reminds us that this is more about me receiving than anything I can do. So if you wanna begin that relationship and receive that power right now, you can just pray this prayer with me under your breath. You can say, God, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing me here today. Jesus, I want you in my life. And I want you to forgive me of my sin, of my iniquities, of my inappropriateness, of the ways that I've come against you. That you would bring a healing in my broken places. Holy Spirit, would you just fill me right now? I want your power. And I will honor you, God, to the best of my ability for the rest of my life. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the family. If you just prayed that prayer, let's congratulate those who just prayed that prayer for the first time. Yeah, you've been adopted. Welcome to the family. And I tell you what, a great next step for you is going to be happening next weekend. You're not going to want to miss next weekend as we wrap up the Brave Journey. If you just prayed that prayer, make sure you're here next weekend. And now, for all of us, let's go ahead and stand. And we're going to sing some words before we go. And this is really a declaration. I just pray that these words would be a declaration of our heart, of us saying, God, awaken me and awaken your power within me. So let's sing together.